This week on the Donut Box Podcast, we talk about the middle school camping trip where we incited a few fights and antagonized some youth leaders. So find out about that. And then in the jail report, we talk about a man who stole 200 pounds of ketchup from various fast food restaurants around a certain town. How is that even possible? Yeah, you're going to have to tune in to find out about that one. And then for the donut hole, I'm going to put Chris to the test on company slogans from our childhood all the way up to now. Will he be able to match up the slogan to the company? We're going to find out.
And then find out what fries my donuts about college kids. Not just all college kids, but certain ones in particular. All that and more on this episode of the Donut Box Podcast. Let's roll the intro.
Hi, I'm Micah.
And I'm Chris.
And we've been friends for over 20 years.
Surprisingly, we haven't killed each other yet. Years ago, we started our own variety show, and it sucked.
Now that we're adults, we decided to give it another try. Like in the movie, life is like a box of donuts. You never know which one's gonna be the next one.
Wait a second, it's chocolates.
Oh, right. Okay, well, let's start the show.
This is the Donut Box Podcast.
Man, let's get into this thing. I am super excited to get this episode started. We are in season 4, episode 19 of the Donut Box Podcast. And we are here live and in color, in person, being seen. If you're over on YouTube, you're seeing our face, obviously. But if you were over on audio still, we encourage you to come over to YouTube. And that is at the Donut Box Pod, D-O-U-G-H-N-U-T Box Pod over on YouTube. And so with that, Chris, how you feeling this week?
It's great, man. Easter's on the way up, and I was sitting here thinking, as we release this episode, it'll have been 1 year since we did the Easter at the Buddy Holly, and that was such a fun time, but I can't believe that was almost a year ago, dude. So crazy.
Yeah, I can't believe that either. And I think we said something last week about talking about that for our old-fashioned donut. But hey, we got other things scheduled. We got a better thing scheduled than that. We'll talk about that some other time. So I'll tell you what. Let's just get right into this old-fashioned donut, which is a story from our past. And Chris, this is a story that's near and dear to my heart. I mean, they're all near and dear to my heart. But this one's a very near and dear to my heart. We were talking about this one just this last week. And this particular story, we went on a middle school camping trip. And I don't know whose idea this was because so Christopher is now a man of the cloth himself. He's done some middle school youth groups as well, some sixth graders, things like that. Is it a good idea to take them on a camping trip and have very few chaperones? I'm just going to start off with that.
Not very good. If you're going to do something like that, you probably need a lot of chaperones. And I think the idea was that when they did this, that there was going to be like, oh yeah, the dads will come along, take their kids, all that. Well, I think people were like, oh yeah, free weekend of childcare. Yeah, dads ain't coming along. And there were probably, I would say there was at least one, two, maybe four or five chaperones, maybe five.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and we talked about this too. There was like this separate camper kind of away, and some of the chaperones just stayed there. And so who was there with us during the night to keep an eye on us was like one to two guys. There was only like one to two adults to keep an eye on us. And, you know, just to set the scene for this thing, I remember it was like, okay, if you have a tent, bring the tent out. And so there was I wouldn't say there was very few of us that had a tent, but there was only a select few of us that had a tent. And so there was a lot of guys sharing tents with other people. And so in our tent, of course, I'm going to have my boy Chris. So we had a tent. I know your family had a tent, but I think it was one of those things of like, okay, we had camped before, like you and I. So it's like, okay, this tent's the easiest one to put up. So we're going to take this one out there. And we were not anticipating that there was going to be a third man who was the odd man out. And really, this tent wasn't supposed to be for three people, but hey, we weren't going to say no to our good friend Patty Ice, so we were like, you know what, we're going to have him out too. And so in these other tents there was a vast amount of guys, and it was interesting from the jump. Now we got out there, and I think it was only one night. I don't remember it being more than one night.
Just one night. It was a Friday night and then Saturday morning, so we probably got out there, I don't know, 4 or 5. It was before dark because we set up camp. And yeah. I remember, like, I brought my tent and I was like, yeah, Mike is going to be in my tent. Patty Ice, you can come on. And then there was another guy, I think Aaron or Zach brought their tent. And they set Zach brought his tent, set it up. And there's probably like 4 guys in that tent. And then Joel and his dad brought their own tent. So it was just a 2-man tent for them. But then somebody, I don't know who did, and I'm glad they did, but somebody brought like their own, one of the leaders brought their own tent. And it was like the communal tent for the rest.
Yeah, it was like this big tent. It was like the real big tent. It was like the 8-person tent or whatever. And they're like, anybody who don't have a tent is staying in this tent, right? And all I remember is, you know, we set up camp, we did the fire, and then just like any sort of little retreat deal for the church, we had to have our little lesson, which I have no clue. I don't remember what we talked about. I think we screwed around the entire time this guy was talking, because Joel's dad was the one that gave the lesson. And we were just like, dude, we're on a camping trip. Shut up. We're trying to screw around. And so we he gets done with that. And it was like, we sat around the fire for a little bit, but then it was time to go to bed, right? It was time to go to sleep. And I remember, so personally, I knew we weren't going to sleep from the jump. And especially because this tent that Chris had was, again, like I go back and say, it was not built for 3 people. And I was already a tall kid and whatnot. I just remember all 3 of our feet were like sticking out the end of this tent, right? Like we all had our own sleeping bags and whatnot, but our feet were like sticking out the end of this tent. Like we had to unzip the flap of the tent, like our feet were sticking out of this thing, right? And it was hot. It was the Georgia summer and it was hot and there was ants and it was just like, man, this isn't gonna happen. And so what do you do when you're a bunch of middle school boys bored and don't got nothing to do and it's hot? You start causing trouble. And so I remember how it started was before we even got to the communal tent, because that was a whole different story, we started throwing rocks at Zach's tent. I remember that was the first day. We started throwing rocks at Zach's tent. And they were all up, and they were all talking. And just like middle school boys, we were just like, oh, yeah, y'all being gay over there? And we were like inciting a bunch of stuff. And they were getting real mad because we were throwing rocks at their tent. And I remember this kid, Zach, he came out there. And he got so mad. And he was like, this is my dad's tent. He just bought it. If you put a hole in it, like you're going to get, we're going to make you pay for this tent, all this other stuff. And he got so mad. And then he went back in there. And we were like, go back in there, be gay with your little boyfriends. And like, we were inciting all sorts of stuff. And then finally, like, I guess we had thrown too many rocks or something. And a homie came out. And what did he do, Chris?
So I remember I just turned over and it was dark. I just turned over and I thought like there was the window. We left the screen windows open. And so like there was a mesh tent and you could see out the tent. And I thought it was his face. But apparently homie like mooned us with
our
tent. We were like, what are you doing, Zach? Why are you mooning us? What the heck?
And we were like, maybe the rumors are true. Maybe what we're saying is true because you're showing your butt to people. And like, it was this whole thing, man. I was the same way. I just remember looking over there and I was like, how did he get his face at that angle? And then I was like, oh, yeah. So I guess he really was a butt face because I guess if we thought like, hey, you know, his face was down there. Anyways, so I don't like we kind of harassed them for a bit, but they kind of like, I think they went to sleep or something. Like,
yeah.
They kind of quieted down. They went to sleep. Now, the communal tent was still popping. Like, they still had some stuff going on, except for one kid. I remember one kid, and it was our boy. His name was Chris, too. And he came over there, and he fell asleep like 9 o'clock. Like, he fell asleep like 9 o'clock. And I don't know how he didn't wake up with the rest of this stuff. And granted, you know, with us screwing around with this other tent, like, you know, talking mess and throwing rocks and whatever, our youth leader, Tony, poor guy, got, you know, bless this man because he had to put up with this crap. I remember he came over there and he's like, y'all need to go to bed. It's way late. Y'all need to go to bed. And again, at this point, I think it was like 11 o'clock, like 11:30. Yep. It wasn't like late, but it was like, hey, you need to go to bed. And so I just remember at this other tent, there was kind of some younger kids. Like there were some younger kids over there. And of course, us talking mess just got them hyped up, right? And so we were talking mess to them and they kept going. We started doing the same thing we were doing to the other tent. Like, oh yeah, I bet y'all are gay. we were saying all sorts of stuff. They're like, man, you need to shut up and all this other stuff. And apparently,
middle school boys, it's always like, shut up. No, you shut up. You shut up. Your mom's this.
Exactly. And it's just like, that's not what she told me last night. Stupid stuff. And so at this point, then, you know, our youth leader comes over there and he's like, y'all really need to go to bed. Both tents. Y'all need to go to bed. Whatever. Right. And apparently all this mess that we were talking had this little fight break out between two brothers within the tent. And so these two brothers, they were going back and forth. And I just remember, so the younger one, poor guy, he had a little bit of a speech impediment. And so he comes over there and the older brother was a hothead. Like, he was a hothead and a half. I'm just going to say their name, Alex and Steve. Alex was the older brother. Steven was the younger brother. And Alex was a hothead and a half. And so Steven comes over there and he's like, do you mind if I hang out with you guys for a little bit? It's like, yeah, but you can't get in this tent because there ain't no freaking space. So you're going to stand out there. And so he was standing out there and he's like, my brother just ticks me off sometimes. And I'm not going to do the impression. I could, but I'm not going to. And he was like, yeah, my brother just ticks me off sometimes. And what would good middle school friends do for this guy besides hype him up and be like, listen, man, you can't let your brother bully you. You can't let him get away with this stuff. And so we really, really hyped up. Do you remember some of the things we said,
Chris? Yeah, I remember us being like, yeah, like you got the only way to defeat a bully is to stand up to a bully. And I don't know if maybe I'm having the Mandela effect, but I do remember getting out of the tent at one point and maybe us like, yeah, like if he does this to you, you just push him or something. Like,
oh, I do remember that. Remember, yeah.
You remember? We were like teaching him some moves and we were like, yeah, like you got this, Steven. Like, you know, he'll be talking down to you.
For some reason, like, I even remember it being like, if he starts talking mess to you, I remember like sticking my finger in his chest and be like, you stick your finger in his chest, tell him I'm not going to take this anymore and all this other stuff.
Like, we'll back you up.
Like, we'll back you up. And there was kind of this common ground in between that communal tent and like our tent, right? And so I don't remember why Alex, the older brother, came over there, but he like came over there. And Steven was like, I'm not standing for your crap anymore and all this other stuff. And all I remember is Alex, the older brother, going, what'd you say? And all of a sudden they get into this tussle, like in the middle of the communal ground there. And they're just like,
we're all hyping Steven up. We're like, yeah, you tell him, Steven.
Yeah, we're like, don't, it's like, don't back down, Steven. This is your chance to show him who's boss and all sorts of stuff, man. And so they start getting into this tussle and they like get on the ground. They like start fighting each other and whatnot. And so, of course, the youth leader, he comes over there and he like breaks it up and he's like, y'all need to stop. And I'm sure he heard the whole thing because he was like down on the water of this lake fishing the whole night. So I'm sure he's heard like this whole thing. And so at this point, he was mad. Like, he was pretty mad. And he told us, like, okay, you stop talking. Go to bed. He made them go back to their tent and everything, right?
Well, what happened was, is, like, they made him, like, split up or whatever. And we were like, okay. And we started, like, ramping everybody up again. And then all of a sudden, I remember the light just shines on, like, in our faces. It's like, y'all better shut your mouth right now.
Yeah, well,
I've seen him somehow.
Yeah, well, it was because he separated us and he was like, y'all go to bed. And I'm pretty sure the communal tent would have if we didn't start hyping them up again. And we started just like yelling stuff at them and all sorts of stuff. And I mean, I just remember it being like, yeah, you know, I'm surprised that sleeping bag's big enough for the two of y'all and like all sorts of stuff. We were just hyping them up. And so they got all sorts of mad. And so we were like hollering stuff at each other. And we knew like if he came back, it was not going to be good because he was already pretty upset. And so I remember it being like, man, is Tony coming back? And we were like whispering to each other. We're like, oh, man, is Tony coming back? And like everybody was quieted down. And that flashlight comes on. He's like, I'm already here. We were like, oh, shoot. And he was like, I will call. And he named all of our mothers in that tent. And he's like, I will call all of them right now. Tell me exactly what's happening. And I will have them come pick you up. You shut your darn mouth. And like he was mad. And after that, I was like, yeah, maybe it's time to go to bed. Maybe it's time.
At this point, it was like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. What Micah isn't saying, Micah is like, Tony like tried everything. Like he went to go sleep in the truck. Like he went he was like down by the lake. Like he was really trying to go to sleep and we just kept hooping and hollering. And it was like 2 o'clock in the morning and like, that's when everybody's like, okay, it's time to go to sleep. At this point, it's just time to go to sleep. Cause after that, cause we had never seen Tony that mad. And we were like, you know, when you, like you make someone that mad where it's like, okay, this isn't funny anymore. Like everybody just chill out. Like nobody say a word.
This is serious. Like this is real serious. And so we end up going to sleep. And I just remember the next morning waking up and like he was still pretty steamed in the morning. Like he was still not really happy with us. And we went to his house weekly for cell group. And I even remember like we went to his group that week and he even like talked about not just obedience, but like I remember he had this whole like cell group lesson. He's like, now I got this lesson from the curriculum, but we ain't going to do that this week. We're going to talk about, and he literally like laid into us for it. He was not happy at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, that middle school retreat was something else. All I remember from that next morning was there was this guy who was like camping with his girlfriend like next door to us. And he like made us go apologize to him for keeping him up too. And we were like, were you up all night? He's like, oh yeah. But he's like, I knew y'all are just boys, so it's whatever. And I think that guy kind of took it out on us because we were swimming in the lake and he had this jet ski and he kept like just repeatedly, well, we also were like, yeah, let's get waves shot on us. But he would like take this jet ski, go up real close to us and like turn real quick. So it'd make this big wave over us. And there was a few times he got close. Like I thought he was going to like hit us, bro. And I was just like, man, I think maybe he was taking it out on us too. But yeah, the middle school camping trip, that was a good time. But my man, Chris, you know, I haven't done too much volunteering, especially not with the youth, but I think you've gotten your return sevenfold on that deal, haven't you?
Yep. I led a middle school boys group, and every week it was the same thing. It was like, bro, like, please just stop talking for like 5 minutes. Let's just get this lesson done, 5 minutes. And then when I led a fourth and fifth grade summer camp, and like I drove the van and all the boys were in the van, like just them like farting on each other, like throwing chip bags, like everything. Like, dude, I was like, y'all just chill out for 2 seconds. Like I had moments like that and I was like, yep, it's coming full circle.
You know, say what you will about the future generations and stuff like that, some things just always remain the same about boys at that age. I was even on a walk the other day with my dog through this park. And at a certain part of this park, there is a basketball court. And there was these like boys who were probably middle school age. And they were in this whole argument, like almost in a fight about like, bro, give me my change. Like if you ever played basketball, it's like, give my change. It's like, bro, that was a layup. That was too easy of a shot. You don't get change for that. And I was just like, man, I remember being in those arguments. I guess some things just don't change because, you know, sometimes you think about the future generations and you think, man, they're just sitting around playing video games and it's different. It's like, nah, some things just don't change, man. Some things just don't change at all.
Well, I think one thing is, this is funny. I don't know if I'm going too far, but I remember there was this one time we were in worship and there was these middle school boys around me. And like during the song worship, like the boys were jumping up and down, and everyone except for one was not jumping. And this other one, he was kind of like the leader, and he looked at the boy. He was like, if you don't jump during worship, he's like, you're gay. And that kid, I kid you not, boy, that kid jumped higher than everybody else. Boy, he was like, yeah, that's good. And I was just like, oh my God.
Bro, and like the thing is,
they love talking mess on each other. It's so funny.
Oh, yeah, they love talking mess. And, like, if you're not a part of the group, they will make you feel a certain type of way. And a lot of times, for some reason, it's like, you're gay if you don't do this. that's just the thing. And I don't know, the times of middle school. Would I go back? Absolutely not. But I look back at those times, I'm like, yeah.
Would you go back for, like, one day or 1 week?
I don't know. It depends on what it is, man, because middle school is just, it was a weird time, dude. You know, I don't know. Also, like all the hormones and crap.
Do I wish to go back? Not necessarily, but like I look upon those times with fond memories.
I look back and go, man, you used to be able to shoot your mouth off and not have a problem. So maybe a little bit for that. But yeah, it was also a little bit of a weird time. So I don't know. But yeah, that was our middle school boys camping trip, which was fun times. It was dark out, so I still don't know who won that fight between Alex and Steven. I'm going to say it was probably Alex.
Probably,
and,
yeah.
And we hyped him up and told the old Steven we'd back him up, and we just sat there and, you know.
We were coaching him from the tent. We were like, yeah, Steven, stand up for yourself. Had no intention going out there to interfere. We just let nature take its course.
Yeah. That's just nature, man. Poor kid. Anyways, let's move on to our next segment, which is probably where some of these kids have ended up. And that is the jail report, our jelly donut segment. And Chris, I've got some crazy stories to tell you about this week for our jail report. One is that ketchup bandit. Well, hey, we're going to get to that one in a little bit. This one is a very COVID-19 arrest report here. I'm sure maybe you've heard of this one. But in 2020, a man in California was arrested after being caught in a local grocery store with a shopping cart full of toilet paper. So he attempted to steal 50 packs of toilet paper by shoving it in his shirt and his pants, which, I mean,
50 packs or 50 rolls?
50 packs. That's what it says in the story here. 50 packs.
How do you even get that much toilet paper?
I don't know, but it'd be pretty dang obvious. You'd probably look like the dang Michelin man trying to walk out the dang door.
There's no way.
Anyways, he tried to steal 50 packs, but security stopped him just in time while he was trying to get out the door. And he attempted to run, but he couldn't get very far because of how much toilet paper he had on him. I know, right? Unless he had like a trench coat or like something real big. But it also said that he had a shopping cart full along with this. So like he must have like shoved some in and with the shopping cart and tried to run out with all of that. And then so security stopped him just in time. And so they tacked on the charges, of course. They charged him with grand theft, shoplifting, and disturbing the peace. Damn. So
that time of COVID when people were buying up all the toilet paper is unreal to me.
Yeah, man. Hey, you worked in a grocery store. You saw all that stuff firsthand. People went crazy for toilet paper. People went wild for that stuff. Anyways, all right, this next one. 2022, a man in Texas was arrested after attempting to escape from police, and he was wearing no pants. So I guess you could call him the pantsless bandit. He inadvertently lost his pants during his run, but kept sprinting. So he was charged with. So what he was trying to do is he had just burgled a store. It doesn't say what he stole, but apparently he stole something. He was running from police and his pants ended up falling down. He kept on running. And so they tacked on public indecency, resisting arrest, obstruction of justice, and shoplifting. So, and of course, his pantsless mugshot turned into an internet meme.
Yeah, you got to keep your pants. You got to at least wear a belt if you're going to be running from the cops, or at least shorts that are like snugly fit, because that's some active duty running. But at least he kept going, you know.
He was determined. He was like, listen, I'm getting away from these fools. I'm getting away from these fools. All right. So the next one, in 2021, a California man tried to rob a house, but he gets inside and a resident's dog was barking at him, as dogs do, and was going after him. And I don't know if he was on drugs or what, doesn't necessarily say, but this guy stuck around barking at the dog, trying to intimidate the dog. So when police caught him, he was still barking at the dog. So apparently they also had a security system. And so when he walked through the door, the security system went off, alerted the police. The police come by and he was barking at the dog, trying to intimidate it. So he was charged with attempted burglary and disturbing the peace, as well as criminal trespass. But he was dubbed as the barking burglar by local news.
Yeah. So, do you remember that scene in Snow Dogs when, like, they were like, yeah, the way to assert dominance of the dog, you just got to bite his ear? And Cuba Gooding Jr. bit the dog's ear.
Yeah. Something like that, man, except apparently this guy was trying to rob a house and he's, oh, rah, rah, rah. I don't know, man. It's wild. All right. This one's deliciously from the South. especially from the state of Georgia. A man in Georgia tried to escape a police officer by running out of the Waffle House, carrying an entire waffle out of in his hand. So, homie tried to escape Waffle House with the whole waffle in his hand. So, police caught him still holding the waffle, and they arrested him. And, of course, he was charged with evading arrest, theft of property, disorderly conduct, and he had an active warrant on him.
This is the most Georgia thing I've ever heard in my life.
So, guess where that was? That was in the Augusta area. Yes, it was. It was actually in the Augusta area, man.
You know what they call Augusta? Disgusta.
Disgusta for a reason. Disgusta for a reason.
How many people have you met and you told them, I'm from Augusta, and they ask you, that city is so beautiful because it has the Masters. Have you ever been? And it's like, the golf course, immaculate. The city.
That's the nicest part of town, bro. That's the nicest part of town.
The city is something else. So unless you have a reason to go to Augusta, do not go.
I went to a wedding here recently, and there was some folks there from Georgia, like some family members that were there from Georgia. And they were from North Georgia, though, like on the border of Tennessee. And I said, oh, yeah, I used to live in Georgia. And they said, oh, yeah, where? And we said Augusta, and they made a face. They straight up made a face. They're like, okay. So it's like, yeah, it's not a great place to be, but you just got to love the Waffle House story about running out with the good old waffle there.
What is it? Does it say?
It doesn't say which one, no. Wrightsboro, no, I'm joking. I don't know. I have no clue. Hey, that would make sense, wouldn't it? So this one, it's just like our podcast here, but we'll get into that. In 2024, a man in New York was arrested for stealing dozens of donuts from a bakery. His capture was both hilarious and embarrassing. He walked right into a police station holding a box of donuts to turn himself in, because apparently he understood that he was having a problem there. But he was charged with theft and criminal trespassing. But a viral image of him holding a donut box in the police station became an unforgettable moment.
Like, so here's the evidence. I'm going to turn myself in, and here's the evidence.
I feel like he was doing that to make a statement or something like that. I feel like there was more to the story, but that's all that I got from this story. But either that or he was intoxicated on something and just like, you know what? I'm going to take the pig some donuts. I don't know. But I just thought it was funny because Donut Box Podcast, we got to include that. All right. In 2023, a suspect in a robbery attempt decided to flee the scene by pouring motor oil on himself to slip through the fingers of police. While it sounds like a genius plan, he left a greasy trail all the way down the street, which led the cop straight to him. And he was arrested for robbery because he ended up robbing a home. And then apparently this is something you can get charged for. You ready for this? Creating a hazardous spill. That's something in the state of New Jersey that you can get charged for, but creating a hazardous spill and resisting arrest. The whole thing was he robbed somebody's house. He covered himself in motor oil and then went down the street. And apparently he did not live very far. He went less than a block and went to another home. It just goes without saying, you know, most of the time with home invasions and things like that, it is somebody who's in the area typically. But could you imagine, like, they just led straight to pour, you know, he poured motor oil on himself. So he just led him right to him.
What it made just me think the of street. Said that when you read that, it made me think of the greased up deaf guy from Family Guy.
You're never going to catch me. See you next year. Oh, that's great.
I love that. It's so messed up, but that bit chills me every time.
So this next story actually includes me. Did you know your boy almost got arrested this week?
Oh, for what?
Plane spotting at an Air Force base. Wouldn't you know it? Well, I wouldn't say I almost got arrested, but I had to include it in the jail report here. So what's funny is if you follow my other page, Fly Guy Micah, you'll see a lot of, you know, Air Force footage and things like that. I do have certain access to the Air Force base and things like that, but I've never had a problem until last Tuesday. So I was out there last Tuesday at the foot of the runway, right? And what I think is hilarious is, so there's two types of cops out there. You can't even really refer to this one as a cop, but there's the little security guard that is like the third party security company. And then there's the military police. The military police don't care. What's funny is they ride past all the time and I'm just like, hey, and they're just like, hey, and they don't care. They have no care. But I just had to tell this story. So this lady comes up and she pulls up in her little, essentially she's like a mall cop.
Top flight security in the world, Craig.
Pretty much, except they're called Allied Security. And they pull up, and so this lady pulls up, and she was the short hair bulldog-looking lady, right? And I, like, wave at her as she's getting out, and she just gives me a scowl. I'm like, oh, boy, she's going to cause a problem. And she comes out there, and she's like, can I help you, sir? And so I told her, I said, I'm just out here watching planes. And she goes, you can't be photographing the planes. I said, oh, I didn't know it was a problem. I didn't know it was an issue. I don't see a sign or anything out here. And this is a public street and everything like that. And she got real angry and she said, you can't be filming the planes. Like she got like real mad. And I said, well, it's okay. Like I got a badge and everything. You want to see my badge? And she says, I'm going to call you into my supervisor. Like, okay. So she calls me into the supervisor. She goes, yeah, I caught this man over here. She said where I was at. It's like, he was outside the fence. What I thought was funny is the verbiage. It's like, I caught him. I caught him. And it's like, yeah, you caught me, Skippy. I didn't run or nothing. I was just standing there on the concrete, just like, hey, how you doing? But you caught me. But she's like, I caught this man on the street over here watching planes. And the supervisor literally gets back to her and says, well, was he like within the fence? And she's no. And he's like, well, and I don't mind that. Like, just take a picture of his car, take a picture of him, and like, we'll run a little background check right quick. And I was like, and I had already told her like, hey, if you want to see my badge, because I work just over here, like here, I'll show you my badge. And I guess she didn't hear me. And so I was like, do you want to see my badge? She's like, yeah. So we'll take a picture of it. So I pull up my badge. And she goes, you're part of the government? Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. She started apologizing. And the funniest thing, bro, she all of a sudden just loosened up and she goes, I love planes. Planes are my favorite thing. This is just one of the best jobs I've ever had. I just love sitting out here watching planes. Isn't it just so great to watch planes? You're a fellow plane spotter too. And she just loosened up so fast. And I'm just like, yeah, no, planes are cool. And she's like, yeah, well, anytime I see you now, I'm gonna wave at you. I'm just like, okay, that's fine. But it was just funny how she came out and she was just so angry at first. She was like, you can't be taking pictures of the plane. You thought she was about to like poop herself. She was so mad. And then all of a sudden, this is like the moment I flashed that badge. She's like, oh, I love planes. Okay. It was great. All right. Last story. Sorry, I had to include that one in there because you never know how those things are going to go about. I've been stopped by the cops. I don't know how many times watching planes, and you never know how those things are going to go.
Yep.
But I thought that one was pretty funny. And then the last one, this is kind of a circle back. So early in our podcast here, season one, actually, we talked about Cain Velasquez, and he's a former MMA fighter, heavyweight, and he was a belt holder there for a while. Yep. I'm going to go through his story just a little bit here. And just because we're going to put this on YouTube and things like that, I'm going to have to be careful of the verbiage or else I'll remove the video and whatnot. So Velasquez was accused of shooting a pickup truck that was carrying this guy who was also accused of a little bit of a crime involving his 4-year-old son, where there was some malicious activity as far as you could probably read between the lines. At a daycare facility. And so Mr. Velasquez shot at the vehicle, and there was an 11-mile car chase in 2022 where this guy and his stepfather was driving and all this other stuff. So Velasquez actually just received 5 years in prison for that crime. And Chris, I just kind of wanted to circle back. We talked about this during the time, and, you know, some of these stories that we talk about in the jail report are funny. This one, not so much. But how do you feel about that? 5 years for having something malicious happen to your child, a very small child. You know, the justice system is something, and I understand that maybe violence is never the answer and whatnot. But how do you feel about this?
So it's funny. I actually saw a comedian make a he wasn't doing a comedy special, but he was actually commenting on it. And if you don't if you most people know the whole thing about Cain Velasquez. If you know what happened to his son, and it was atrocious. And so the guy that I heard, Gary Owen, he was saying, like, you can't have the Wild Wild West where people are out here having street justice. But at the same time, if what happened to his son, like, happened, then you can't blame the man. Because the man was like, give the man a year for firing a gun in public. Maybe give him a year probation. I don't know. But I think 5 years is really steep. I think that's really steep just to be shooting a gun in public and everything. Because, I mean, really and truly, like, I know we have to let the judicial system do its work and stuff. But that happened to my kid? Oh, you best believe, like, I'm going after that person. Like, it's hard not to as a father. Like, it's pretty steep.
And I think what's hard, too, is this: the guy who is a suspect here, he still has that criminal trial for this case, which he's pleaded not guilty for, he's still awaiting until June the 2nd. And so he's bailed out. So he's been a free man since 2022 after potentially committing this crime. And so, you know, you got to let the justice system do its work. But at the same time, as a father, I'm not a father yet, but even knowing, like, hey, if I had kids, if I'm out on the street, this guy is a free man after doing that to my kid. And I know what I know, kind of thing. And I see him on the street. I mean, I'm not blaming the guy. You know, I do think that we do have room in our judicial system to say, you know what? I understand these things. Again, probation, house arrest, give the guy therapy. Like, there are state sanctioned therapy sessions that they can say, you know what, I can understand why you and your family would have a hard time, you know, put them through something like that or some sort of program on that front. I don't think prison and jail is the option, because obviously the guy is not a bad guy. It's just something extremely horrendous happened to his family. And
you're talking about Cain Velasquez.
Yeah. No. I'm talking about Cain Velasquez. And, you know, when it comes to the perpetrator who did this to Cain Velasquez's son, he'll get whatever justice comes to him, I'm sure, in the judicial system. I hope. I really do. But at the same time, when it comes to Cain Velasquez, you know, for shooting at him in public, it's one of those things of, I feel like there's room in our judicial system going back to where there are understandable things to where prison is not the best choice. It doesn't mean that he's a bad person. I mean, inherently, men, we are the defenders of our family. And so if something happens to our family, like, we're going to want to defend them. And so I'm not saying that violence is the best option, but at the same time, in this case, it's a little different, I feel like. But
I would say, too, I think it'd be different circumstances if Cain had fired the gun in public and someone had been injured from that or someone had died. Then, okay, yeah, we'll talk about prison time, because, again, negligence of, you know, shooting a firearm in public, that is, like, he's mad, he's in the heat of the moment, like, you know, he's only seeing red. And there is, like, hey, there is a responsibility that you have to have to make sure innocent bystanders don't get injured, too. But at the same time, like, I don't know, right. It's a really hard one.
Yeah, it's hard because it's the moral dilemma behind it versus the, you know, what do you do as a society? Where's the line? And, you know, there's no clear lines in this one, which is unfortunate. But I just wanted to bring that one up because it does kind of come full circle, because we talked about this in a jail report very early on in our podcast, like, very early on.
Third or fifth episode or something. Like, it was
think about that in season one, and we've gone, you know, we're in season four now, and it also shows how long our judicial system takes, which is unfortunate too. It really shouldn't take this long, which we can get into all that. But anyways, I just wanted to bring that one up just because that one settled here this week. Hopefully he has, I didn't read if he had a chance for parole sooner. Hopefully maybe he can get off a little quicker and things like that. But the report that I also heard, and I'm not sure how true this is, because of course this is, you know, hearsay and whatnot, but apparently the judge was, like, teary-eyed when he gave the verdict of, or, like, gave the sentencing and things like that, as in didn't necessarily want to do it, but hey, you got an obligation to the state, kind of thing. So it is a hard one. It is a hard one. So good luck to Cain Velasquez, and we hope that justice is also done on the other end, you know, if the man is truly guilty, which it sounds like he would be. So Anyways, the very, very last one here, I snuck that one in there, but we have to talk about the ketchup bandit. Back to the one in the intro, the ketchup bandit stealing condiments. So in 2023, a man in Ohio was arrested for stealing over 200 pounds of ketchup from various fast food restaurants in the Cleveland area. And when he was asked why, he said he had a ketchup addiction. Now, this was over the course of 3 months. Think about that. 200 pounds of ketchup. How do you steal 200 pounds of ketchup?
I don't think it's that hard. Like, if they come in big bags or something.
He said that, and according to the statement here in the police report, apparently he was not just stealing the packets. He was going to fast food places. It's all kind of subjective of what you call fast food, but he was going to fast food places that had the actual like bottles of ketchup. And so he would go table to table and steal the bottles of ketchup. And so, but he said he had a ketchup addiction. And so he was charged with theft, vandalism, and trespassing. And so the reason he was eventually caught, nobody really knew who was stealing the ketchup. And, you know, after working in a restaurant, I'm sure people probably didn't care. It's probably the managers who cared. They'd probably be like, who the heck's stealing our ketchup? But the reason that he was caught was he was attempting to break into a restaurant's supply room at one point. And that's when he was caught on camera and everything else. And so apparently just stealing the ketchup that was out there on the tables was not enough. So he tried to break into the supply room and steal the ketchup.
My question is like, there's got to be some psychological addiction to ketchup, or meaning why behind it. Because no one is just addicted to something like that. Like any addiction, like, I get it. Like, if you're addicted to alcohol or drug, like, I get it. You're trying to numb something. Like, I get that. But, like, ketchup isn't going to do anything for you. I don't know what the deal is.
Maybe it's a, you know, and this is just speculation. I don't know the rest of the story behind this, but maybe it's a almost like a kleptomaniac thing. Like, it's not necessarily just the ketchup, but it's the sensation of stealing things and being able to get away with it. And okay, I stole all this ketchup from this place. I don't know, because this is just what he said when he got arrested. And you know, sometimes if you're a kleptomaniac or you have something going on, and maybe it's undiagnosed, or maybe, you know, some of these people don't even think about why they're doing some of this stuff. They just like have this compulsion to do something. Maybe when he got arrested, he was just like, I guess I'm addicted to ketchup. And that's what ended up happening. But really and truly, it's about the act of stealing it, or it's about, I don't know, some sort of rush that he gets from stealing ketchup. And then he's like, okay, this is my hot dog. And he's putting it in, he's like, this ketchup I didn't pay for. You know, some people are, they got some weird stuff going on, man. But the ketchup bandit there, he stole all his ketchup, which was wild. But there you go. But anyways, that was our jail report. Had to end off on a positive note after we went a little deep on the Cain Velasquez thing. But all right, man, you ready to move on to our next segment?
Yeah.
Our next segment is the donut hole, which is a quiz this week. I feel like it's always quizzes now. Used to be just random, but hey, it's a quiz now. So these are slogans and jingles from our childhood, being millennials, all the way up to now. So we can have things all the way from the 90s all the way till now. So you're going to tell me the brand or company that the jingles or slogans came from. So I'm going to tell you the slogan. You're going to tell me the brand or the company. So the first one that we have, this, which brand uses the slogan, because you're worth it? Is it A, Maybelline, B, L'Oreal, C, Revlon, or D, CoverGirl?
B.
L'Oreal. Yep. Because you're worth it. Yep. So apparently the marketing worked on that one,
I guess.
Did you ever, the only reason I chose this one is because for the longest time when I was a kid, like I had this shampoo that had like, it looked like a parrot or something. It was like green and it had like an eyeball on it. And it was like a L'Oreal like kid shampoo. And then I remember visiting other people's houses and like a bunch of kids had the same kind of shampoo. Did you ever have that like L'Oreal shampoo that had a little eye on it and whatnot?
Heck no.
No.
We didn't have the nice enough L'Oreal.
No L'Oreal stuff? All right.
We had Doriel. That's what we had.
You know, it's funny. I actually worked at Papa John's, and there was this girl in the back, and her name was L'Oreal. Anyways, all right. So the second one here, what is the slogan, melt in your mouth, not in your hands? Where does that slogan come from? Is it A, Skittles, B, Reese's, C, M&M's, or D, Snickers? Now, this one's kind of an older one.
That's
melt in your mouth, not in your hands. M&M's. There you go. Yep. That was M&M's. So you're 2 for 2. This one's probably going to be an easy one. Which company popularized the jingle, I'm loving it? You probably even tell me without even. What there you go, McDonald's.
Can I just say, I miss the days of mascots like Burger King, Ronald McDonald. I miss those days, and there's no mascots anymore.
Bro, McDonald's used to have a full lineup of mascots. Like, it wasn't just Ronald McDonald. You had the Hamburglar.
Grimace?
You had all of them. There was like the Hamburglar, Grimace. Who was the other one? There was a girl. There's a girl in there too.
Like Helen McCluckin or something. I don't know.
Yeah, the chicken one. I remember that one. Yeah, yeah. There was a whole lineup. There was a whole lineup of mascots. And now, because even back then, like, and I know that it's different now because Walmart don't do the thing with McDonald's no more and whatnot. But I remember having the benches with Ronald McDonald sitting there, and you could like sit next to Ronald McDonald on the bench. You remember that? Yeah. Anything no more. Okay, which car brand is associated with this slogan, the ultimate driving machine? Is that Mercedes-Benz? Is that Audi? Is that BMW? Or is that Lexus?
I want to say BMW.
BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Yep, that's right. That's right. All right, man, you 4 for 4. All right. Now, this one is a modern one here, but it's been for a little bit now. What is Have It Your Way? Where is that slogan? What company is that slogan?
Burger King.
Burger King, which Burger King done fell off. And there's, I don't know about where you're at, but a lot of them are closing in my area. But what I think is interesting about their marketing scheme now is a lot of their songs, I wouldn't say is off key, but it's not traditional. Like, it's kind of, the music is not like the lyrics.
Have It Your Way.
But even like the beginning, it's like Burger King offers great fries. And it's like, it's kind of like off. It's not exactly like on key.
Or not, $4 or $5.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of goofy compared to, you know, typical marketing. So I don't know, but it works because you remember it. That's all that matters.
I don't know if that's an actual one, but I just made that up.
I made mine up too. I don't know what that. I almost said like something about waffle fries. I'm like, that definitely ain't Burger King. All right, the next one here. Which brand slogan is "Just Do It"? I'm sure you know this one too. Nike. Yeah, Nike's had that one for. Apparently, they've had that since 2003. That's been one since 2003. So that's been out there for quite a while. Let's see here. All right, so the next one here. This one is an older one. So this was one that came from our childhood. Which brand used the tagline, "Can you hear me now"? Is it Sprint? Verizon. There you go. It was Verizon. Yep. And then that "Could You Hear Me Now" guy, he switched to Sprint years later. I remember that. Everybody was like, that guy switched. Yeah, it was a whole thing, man. But see, it's interesting. The younger generations wouldn't even know. They'd be like, who's that guy? What significance does he have? And then, you know, it was going back to the Verizon, "Can you hear me now?" It was also, I remember Raising the Bar was a big one back then with AT&T. All right. The quicker pipper, Jesus, I can't even talk. The quicker picker upper, who's that?
Downey.
It's Bounty, man. Listen, I know that you used to work for the grocery store chains here, but so Bounty was probably, you know, everybody knows about Bounty. Everybody knows about Charmin. Did you see people buying Viva and Scott? Do you remember those?
Scott, no. Actually, Viva sold more than Bounty.
Really?
Viva was a pretty big seller. Bounty, I think maybe it was because of the packaging we had, but yeah. Viva sold more than Bounty.
Maybe it's because it was kind of that green. maybe it's kind of that green packaging. I don't know. But you said you wouldn't really move Bounty. I know Charmin was a big one, but that's because toilet. They always. Yeah, but they also had. I feel like they had like.
Charmin was a pretty big seller.
Like paper towels.
Yeah, Charmin would always go. Charmin was like the number one seller. Angel Soft. Yeah. Nobody really bought Scott. It was like the grocery store brand.
Yeah, whatever the value brand was. That same comes off the same assembly line, just different. Yeah. All right, which brand used the logo? Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's...
Wait, what?
And the slogan is, maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's blank. And that's either A, CoverGirl, B, L'Oreal, C, Maybelline, or D, Estée Lauder.
CoverGirl.
Nah, man, it's maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline.
I don't know. The fact that you know that makes
sense. I watched too much TV as a kid, man. What you talking about?
You know what? I'm going to be good. I'm not going to say nothing.
You're about to roast me on that.
Going back to the middle school boys camping trip. Okay, all right.
All right. Dirty. All right. Let's see. Which company's slogan was Think Different? It was just Think Different. Is it A, Apple, B, Microsoft, C, IBM, or D, Samsung?
Ooh. I'm going to go with Apple.
It was Apple. Yep, it was Apple. That was the slogan. Was Think Different.
I was with IBM for a minute, but I was like, no, Apple.
This next one you probably know because you wanted to be one for a very brief extent there. The few, the proud, the blank.
The Marines.
Yeah. I was
like, Texas Rangers? What's their slogan? One riot, one ranger.
Yeah, there you go. No, it wasn't that one, but the few, the proud, the Marines. And I remember my boy Chris, he came to church one Sunday, shaved his hair off, like, what's going on with you, buddy? Are you doing the Britney Spears thing? It's like, no, I want to be a Marine. Oh, okay.
And I could do 20 Marine-style pull-ups. I can maybe do about 10 of those now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's different. I couldn't do maybe 5 of them, so there you go. This one is a little bit of an older one. Which fast food chain had the slogan, where's the beef? Was it A, McDonald's, B, Wendy's, C? Yeah, it was Wendy's. It was Wendy's had where's the beef. When I first put this quiz together, I was sitting here going, where's the beef? I don't know why. I thought that maybe that was Arby's, but then I was like, no, we have the meat.
We have the meat.
That doesn't make
any sense to me. But
that we have the meats.
You just sell roast beef. That's all you sell. And not even good roast beef.
Apparently they sell a whole bunch of other stuff. There's like turkey and all sorts of crap that they put on there.
When was the last time you went into Arby's and it was popping?
Let me ask you this. When was the last time I went into Arby's, period? Like, I mean, my thing is I'm not...
I enjoy Arby's, though. Every now and then she'd be like, can you give me Arby's? And I'd be like, I think it's the curly fries. And when we worked at Boot Corral, I would often go to Arby's for lunch because it was right there.
Yeah, but... Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was like around the corner. And when you only have 30 minutes for lunch, it's like, bro, you gotta go somewhere quick. That's why I always went to Subway, because Subway was up the road when we worked at Boot Corral. It's like, listen, you got to go real quick. All right. Which slogan is this for? Bet you can't eat just one.
Pringles.
Is Lay's, my man. Lay's was bet you can't eat just one.
Are you sure it's Lay's? It's not Pringles?
Yeah, it's Lay's.
Was Pringles an option on there?
Pringles was an option on there. But when I was putting the quiz together, it's...
Okay.
It says Lay's. This one, you probably know this one. I added this one just because of The Office. It's not the same one that they talk about in The Office, but have a break, have a blank.
Have a piece of that Kit Kat bar.
Yeah. Give me a break.
Everyone thinks that's so funny, like when Andy does that, and I never got that joke. I never thought that joke was funny.
Football cream. Yeah, when he's like trying to figure out the Kit Kat bar thing.
That joke never made sense to me. Like maybe some people find it funny. I don't find it funny.
As bad as it is, it just aggravated me because I'm like, it's obviously Kit Kat.
Everybody knows it's Kit Kat.
All right. So next one here. This one's actually the last one that I have here. And so you got the chance to go 15 for 15. Well, actually, you got one.
I missed two.
You missed two? Oh, yeah, you missed two. You missed two. Okay, 13 out of 15 potentially here, which is still a great average. But 15, and I know you're probably going to get this one, Snap, Crackle, Pop is who?
I was going to say, never mind, I'm not going to say it. Rice Krispies.
There you go. I'm really, after we get done with this podcast, you're going to tell me what you were going to say for Snap, Crackle, Pop.
Dude, we went in on that middle school boy segment, and now my brain is middle school boy brain.
So, yeah, exactly. Talking about that.
Let's see. Let me see if I have one for you. Gives you wings.
Red Bull.
There you go. Okay.
That's actually one that I took off because I was like, man, that was too... Like, some of these were easy, but I was like, Red Bull gives you wings.
It's not funny.
Yeah. The other one that I thought about that I did not add on this one was, what can Brown do for you?
It's UPS.
That was UPS back in the day, which I always thought was a goofy slogan. Like, it makes sense, but it was a pretty goofy slogan. I remember going back to the middle school boy brain, I remember making lots of jokes of what can Brown do for you. Anyways, so let's move on to our next segment, if you're ready, man. Speaking of what Brown could do for you, especially piss you off when they don't deliver your packages, and what fries my donuts? And Chris, you kind of alluded to it. You kind of alluded to it in the intro. What fries your donuts, buddy?
Yeah, so number one, I'm going to preluded with this. I was at a coffee shop the other day, and this is why it started to get me think about it, but frying me up. I was at a coffee shop the other day, and I was like doing, you know, working from the coffee shop, because we have like every last day of the month we do work from like a remote area. Okay, so I was in the coffee shop minding my own business, like doing all my stuff, whatever. I had my headphones on, so I wasn't listening to anybody. And there was this group of college kids. You could tell they were a study group, right? So they were studying, all that stuff. Paid them no mind, but I went to go leave and I took my headphones off and I heard them have this conversation. And have you ever met those college kids that like, they think because they took one class in psychology and they're like, again, they're like those hipster college kids who are like, yeah, man, like we totally need to be down with the patriarchy, like da-da-da-da. And it's like, I was listening to this conversation of these college kids, and they were like, yeah, I'm just so tired of these movie tropes where, like, we're glorifying the American soldiers, dude. And, like, really what we're doing is, like, we're protecting abusers and this. And it's like, okay, I hear what you're saying, but half of you, what you're saying, you have no life experience, like, to back any of this up. And you could tell these college kids, they just love talking about theories and ideas. But, like, you can hear it in these certain college kids' voice. They've taken one class of sociology or psychology, and now they think they know everything. And they're like, yeah, we got to take the system down, man. Like, they almost have this condescending tone when they talk. Like, have you noticed that? It's like these college kids that go into these coffee shops, and I'm not saying all of them, but they're like, they have these ideas and they're like, yeah, man, like I hate capitalism. Like, socialism is the way to go. And it's like, yeah, like socialism in theory, right, sounds good, but really you haven't lived any of this out. Like, you've never probably had a real job. You've never had to pay bills. You don't really know how the world works. And I'm okay if you have those beliefs. That's not what I'm saying. What my frustration is when you do not have life experience to back these theories up, and you're just simply spouting these theories off just because they sound good to you. If you believe that and you have life experience and you walk through some things and you actually believe that, there are some people that I know that they actually believe that, and I can tell they believe it because the way that they back it up, and they be like, you know why? This is why I believe this, because I've done X, Y, and Z. I've lived through this way, and this is my view on things. Okay, that's your belief system. Back you up on it. But what I'm talking about is these college kids that don't know nothing and have no life experience, and now they're just talking in generalities or saying things that just sound good.
Belief with no backing, man. And these are the same people that will stay in college for 10, 15 years, and I'm not talking mess about this stuff, but I've lived in two college towns in my life. I've lived in Lubbock, Texas, which is not quite a college town, but it is at the same time. And I lived in San Marcos, Texas, and that is definitely a college town. Like, there is nothing else going on in that town besides the college. And I will say this, going to the coffee shops there, oh yeah, it's definitely like that. And these people are straight up pretentious. I know exactly what you're talking about. They are straight up pretentious in what they believe in and a lot of it, what they do. And for example, I used to go on campus to Texas State and things like that. And there was this, I almost call it like the free speech courtyard. It's next to the student union. But basically anybody could spout off anything that they want to spout off. And a lot of these people, now, you would have a good amount of right-wingers out there that's like, women should be in the kitchen, shouldn't even be in school. But then you have just like all the way the opposite front to where it's like communism's the best and everything like that. But a lot of these people, again, like Chris is talking about, has never actually, like, the only thing that they have seen is their protected little bubble from when they lived at home and they went to college. And college, they're like, I can be in my free speech world now, and I could piss off my mom and dad by saying whatever I want to say now. And so it's like, okay, I can do whatever I want to do. And so they're exploring this freedom. They find a friend group, and a lot of times these friend group are, they're radical. Let's be real. They're pretty radical on one side. And but they don't know what they're talking about. It sounds good in theory. They're just like, oh, yeah, OK, yeah, communism's great. Socialism's great. Totalitarianism is great. Like, everything would be fantastic if we were all in one major pool, if we were all living in one major commune. But if that was the case, they would hate their lives. Like, they would hate their lives. Absolutely. But and what ends up happening is they get out of college, they graduate, they go get a job. And then after they get a job, they realize, oh, that wasn't what I thought it was supposed to be. Or, oh, that wouldn't actually work because of this. And then some people actually stick into it. But what ends up happening is they end up being the bitter people that just don't ever do anything with their lives. And they keep preaching this stuff. But then when you press them on it, they have no clue why they're actually pressing on this stuff. And yeah. So what I said at the beginning about a lot of these people stay in school, I feel like a lot of these people stay in school because that's their comfortable spot. It's actually easy to be in college for them because all they have to do is go to their classes. Somebody else is paying their tuition for them, so they can go and free speech all they want. They can hang out with the people that they want, and it's an easy time compared to when they were at home and they were told what to believe. Now they can believe what they want with no consequence, but if they get out on their own and they're with a job, they can't say these things at a job. They can't do these things at a job. And so, but I get what you're saying. It's just, they get together and it's like a little political rally. You're sitting at the freaking coffee shop and they're just like, yeah, we're going to stand up for it. And I know you're not a Monty Python fan. Like, I know you're not, but I think what's funny, we watched Life of Brian before, right? And they were sitting there and it was like the group that they had was the Judean People's Front, you know, and it's like they really don't know what they're fighting for. All they know is they hate the Romans, right? They just hate the Romans. That's all that they know, but they have zero action to back it up. And then when it comes to time, they're just like, we don't really know what to do because we just know that we hate the Romans and that's it. And it's because somebody told us to, and that's about it. And yeah, it's just no guidance, but belief.
The thing that I get frustrated is these people, they're pretentious and they're angry, and they like, they're angry at you for not believing the way they do. And they like almost try to force it on you. And I'm like, okay, if you believe what you believe, any set of values, any set of belief, I feel like you need to have some kind of reasoning or life experience or something to back it up. Some kind of reasoning. If you can say, this is why I believe what I believe, and these are the reasons why. I may not agree with what you believe, but I can be like, okay, this is what you believe. Versus, like you said, I'm only in my little protected bubble and college is my safe space. Same thing on the other end of the spectrum. I can, and I always tie things back to faith because I'm a person of faith, right? But like, if you have never gone through anything hard, you've only lived in mommy and daddy's sheltered little bubble, never had to go anything hard. And then you're like, preaching about how, yeah, Jesus is with you in the hard things. Like, you've never had to go through anything hard. So it's going to be harder for me to believe you, right? Like,
or even what bothers me, especially people in the South, I've heard scriptures and sermons about like the Christian church is persecuted. It's like, not here, we're not.
Yeah, not
it's
in
like
America.
You've never been persecuted. It's like, dude, go to China, go to Eastern Asia. They're the ones being persecuted. They're the ones at like risk of death. Like, that's persecution. And yeah. But anyways, continue. Yeah. Like, that's
and so I think I feel like a lot of what I'm talking about, these people want attention, right? They want just to get attention out of it. And on the other end, I saw this actually today when I was downtown, but I saw this guy and he was wearing this big shirt and it was like sparkly and it said, Jesus is the only way, right? And he was up talking to like this couple on a bench and I was like, okay, cool. But like literally right like 5 feet away, he had a guy filming him and it was to be put on social media. And that bugs the fire out of me. Like, I'm like, okay, if you're wanting to spread the gospel, like, okay. But what I get mad about is, are you filming this to put on social media so you can get more views? Like, no, that's absolutely not. It's like the attention's on you, not on the messages you're spreading. And so I don't like that either way. I don't like you trying to just say you believe in something just so you can look cool, appear cool, sound smarter than you think you are. It's that pretentiousness. It reminds me of Brian from Family Guy. Like, I couldn't stand that guy, and Quagmire called him out on it because it's like, you say you believe all these things, but when it comes to the action, you're not going to do anything about it. Kind of like what you said. So it just really fries my donuts. And when I was walking away, I was like, okay, you're 19 years old. You don't know what you're talking about, but like, you can't tell them that. You can't tell them because then they're going to turn it on. He was like, oh, so I just like,
You're part of the problem.
And it's like, bro, I'm just here to do my work in life.
It's like, dude, you don't know me. It's like, I love everybody equally. I don't think anything else about anything. And, you know, going back to people having life experiences, we know somebody who is actively believes in communist values, right? But at the same time, the guy that we talked about, he not only went through college, he was in the military for a little bit of time and things like that. It's like, dude, if you went through the military and it's like, listen, I don't think capitalism is cool because I've faced it head on and I saw exactly what capitalism does on the back end. Hey, man, if that's what you want to believe, that's on you. I think it's a little extreme and I don't believe in it myself. But at the same time, hey, you went through the things to see those things. So if that's how you want to feel, that's how you feel, man. Like, I'm not going to say nay. But a lot of the times it's, you know, these people have a view on society and you're going, you don't have a place to have a view on society because you're not technically a part of society yet. And you haven't given anything to society yet. I know it sounds bad and I never thought I'd be this kind of person, but to those people that you're talking about, it's like, dude, you haven't had to scrounge for housing. You haven't had to scrounge for jobs. You haven't had to pay taxes. You haven't had to do the stuff that we have. If you go through all those things and you're like, man, socialism is the way to go, I got nothing for you. I'm like, hey, if that's how you want to believe, that's how you want to believe. But at the same time, if you're in this little protected little bubble and you haven't seen in outside of that, and a lot of these people, they just want to cause trouble. Like, a lot of times I've seen, and I'm going to go really political here, but a lot of the folks that you see that are protesting about what's going on in Gaza, I understand why there is a protest about that, Israel versus Palestine, all this other stuff. It's been age-old debate. It's been forever, and it's going to continue because if you read the Bible, that is always going to continue. It's always going to be a hotbed. It's always going to be what happens. I get that. But at the same time, a lot of these people are like, there's persecution going on there. But at the same time, they're throwing chairs through windows and all sorts of stuff. And it's like, are you any better than what you're trying to fight against? I don't understand this. So there's a lot of that goes on of it's an excuse to – we all have angst within us. We all have, hey, we want to act out and we want to do these things. And going back to being in college and being in this protected bubble, college is a different time. When you get away from your parents, you can do these things. If you want to throw chairs through windows, you can. You get to go to jail too, but at the same time, you can do these things. And so I feel like a lot of these people, they get out there and they're just like, you know what? Now I can do this stuff, so I will, even if they believe it or not. And it's kind of, it's really ridiculous. We can go on and on about this, but yeah.
And even like when, even being a young, like when I was 19, 20, like even coming back to my faith, like I had some really, I don't know, bad views, but probably bad views, but like judgments, I would make judgments about people. And I'd be like, oh, if you're going through depression or anxiety, it's because you're not spiritual enough or not praying enough. And I had that view of people. I really thought that.
Because you don't have the faith of God.
Until I actually went through battling with depression and anxiety and all those things, it changed my view. Cause I was like, you know what? Like, it's not just a spiritual issue. Sometimes it's a mental issue. Sometimes it's a chemical issue. Sometimes like it changed my view. So like the view and judgments I had of other people, like now, like my view is shifted. And within that realm, like I still believe what I believe about like faith and Jesus and everything. But when it comes to like that thing, my view is totally shifted to where it's like, no, like, because I lived that and went through experience, it's like, oh, okay, now I'm not so quick to judge other people. And I mean, so
I think a lot of that, man, is two, you have to be open-minded enough to say there is maybe what I know is not 100% of what I know. And I know at age 19, 20, and when you're in college, you think you know everything. Like, I know that that is also a thing. But at the same time, there's also a time where there is the decisions of you start going through some of the stuff that you say, oh, I kind of judge people or I thought differently on these things. And there is a choice where people can either say, okay, I understand where these people are coming from and I'm going to change my viewpoint, or the ego takes over and the pride takes over and says, you know what? I've been thinking this way so long. I'm going to stick to this path, even though I've been through it. I don't go through that. I don't know what you're talking about. You're just weak and things like that. And I've seen so many times where people will take that other course because it's a lot easier instead of working on yourself and saying, hey, the open-minded approach and saying, hey, I was wrong for this and I shouldn't think this way. Prime example, I used to think personally when I was 19 and 20, I used to think because Hillary Clinton was running for president, right? And I remember telling my now wife and telling her, like, listen, women should never be president. That should never happen. Like, that is just not something that should happen. And she asked me why. She's like, why is that a viewpoint of yours? And I started thinking, it's like, because that's what I was told to think. And I made the conscious decision of, okay, I've had bosses who are women. I've had other people who are in leadership that are women. It's not any different than being a man. Like, it is a little different, but it's not any sort of different. Do I believe that that's, you know, would be a detriment? Some people do. Some people are like, oh man, having a woman would be terrible. It's like, there's plenty of countries out there that have women prime ministers, women president to this point, and they haven't burned down around them. Like I thought they, like I've been told they would. So maybe I'm wrong. Right? Maybe I'm wrong and maybe I should be more open about this. And so it's, you know, everybody gets that branching point. And I think the people that we're talking about, a lot of the times, even when they do start going through this sort of thing, some people do take the option and say, okay, I'm a little bit more open-minded. But a lot of these people are like, ooh, yeah, no, I'm going to pretend like I didn't see none of that. We're going to keep going this way. And I'm going to be, and this is my viewpoint no matter what. Even though I'm proved wrong 1,000 times over, this is the way that I'm going to think. And it's, you know, and it's like these other people are the problem. And again, both sides of the spectrum are doing the same thing. And yes, both of them are being the problem. But again, it's all about, again, what do we always come back to? It's always about being in the balance point of life of where's the balance in everything. If you're way too far this way, it's one way. If you're way too far this way, it's another way. You got to be balanced in everything, I think. But
yeah, and there are core beliefs that, like, you have that I feel like you can't compromise, or you can't, if that's a core belief, like, you can't just compromise on those. Like,
right.
You know? And so, I could go on a whole other tangent about.
Yeah, no, we're opening a whole can of stuff
like
here.
This will, this one priest was like, yeah, there's been a lot of people who just have a problem with the word savior at our church. And we're just thinking about changing the word savior. It's like, Jesus isn't really the savior. He's more of a guide. And it's like, okay, homie, now we're changing the whole, like, that part. No. Right. When it comes to like, hey, I'm going to relate to you or how I treat, even if I treat you, even if I disagree with you, right, in your belief, still being open, you know what, I'm going to at least hear you out, and I'm going to hear your belief, and maybe I'll learn why you think that way, and maybe when I walk away, I'll go, huh, that's an interesting thing, I don't believe that, but it was interesting to learn. So you can always learn stuff from other people.
Last thing I'm going to say on this, and we'll move on, is I think we have, and we've talked about this before, a societal divide where people are so divided to where we don't feel like there can be a middle ground. It's either I have to be one way or I have to be the other. And so when people start talking about their opinions or beliefs, a lot of people won't even listen because they're like, oh, you're on the opposite end of the front. I'm not supposed to like you, or I'm not supposed to like that opinion. I'm not even going to listen to it. But at the same time, talking about being open-minded, if you listen to their opinions and you go, you know what, that makes some sort of sense, you don't have to 100% agree with them, but you can at least find some common ground and say, you know what, I do understand why you think that way. I don't think that way, and here's why. And, you know, I think society would be in a lot better place if the other person would sit there and say, okay, I also understand why you're on the opposite end of the fence here, but I also understand why you're there, because we all have different life experiences. We all have different life experiences, or even what Chris is talking about, lack of life experiences that lead them to this. Maybe it's some professor out there that said something at some point. It's like, hey, that makes sense to me, but you've never been out there, right? So that's what's shaping your opinion and shaping a group of people's opinions. But then all of a sudden it's like, nah, I've been there and I'll tell you how it is. But if you're not open-minded and you go, that's foolishness, that's garbage, then, you know, it'll always, trust me, growing up in the South, I've seen so many people's opinions get shaped off of just nonsense. And they're just like, oh, that's just garbage. And it's like, are you even listening to the other side? Because it's not too outlandish to see that it's not, that they're not evil like you think they are, or whatever. So that's a whole thing, man. Apparently you had a good one, fries my donuts, because we went on a whole tangent on that. But
that's okay. We'll transition into a better segment too.
Yeah, man. So we'll transition into our better segment, which is our eClair segment, or our positive advice. And so, Chris, I went first last time. So if you want to go ahead and give the positive advice for the week on this Monday, go ahead.
And I feel like a lot of what I've been talking about in my positive advice in this season is what I'm learning. So when I'm talking about this, I'm not talking at you. I'm talking to you and with you, because I'm walking through this the same. But you have to make an effort for your own healing, right? Like, you have to make an effort to try to have healing. Everyone has trauma. Everyone has hangups. Everyone has triggers. And I know in today's world, it's cliche, like, oh, that's so traumatizing and this and that. And so I'm not trying to minimize the trauma. Everybody has trauma, okay? Everyone has things that they're dealing with, working through, have been through. But at some point in your life, you have to decide, okay, yes, I went through that. It was bad. And now what am I going to do with it? Because here's the thing. I've seen so many people who are like, oh, well, that's just a trigger for me. And yeah, it can be a trigger for you for a little bit, but for their whole life, they keep that as a trigger. And it's not everybody's responsibility to tiptoe around your triggers or to read your mind about what your triggers are. Like, people don't know. They're not mind readers. But whatever you don't deal with, you're going to take with you. And so a lot of people think, oh, if I just move to a new city, it's going to be better. Or if I get another job, it's going to be better. Or, oh, if I just get in this new relationship, it's going to be, but you know who you're taking with you? You're taking you. And you got your own problems, you got your own crap, like, you have your own trauma. And if you don't deal with that, it's going to bleed into other areas of your life. And so it's healthy to deal with it, get healing, whether it's journaling, whether it's talking with a therapist, whatever it is, but make an effort to try to heal that, because it's okay to sit with it. And it's okay to be like, yeah, that was traumatizing. I've been hurt by this. But if you sit for that too long, if you have a wound open for too long, it's going to get infected. And if it gets infected, it's going to spread. Deal with it, help heal from it. And yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know why I want to follow up with that. That's a very good word, man, because on the other front of that, man, it's a talent waiting to bloom. I feel like that is just a talent that's waiting to bloom, because out of so many traumas that I've had, that I've seen Chris have, that I've seen so many other people have, they turn it into, you face those things and it turns into something beautiful out of the carnage that it was. And it turns into something that can bless and help other people. And so it's either turns into a detriment or it turns into a blessing. Like, there's no in between there. And so I don't know who I'm talking to with that one, but I just felt like I wanted to say that too. So for mine, it's kind of the same thing. I know I've been preaching a lot of somewhat around this here, but patience. Patience is key. It's so easy to not be patient. There are so many things in my own life right now that I'm just like, man, I want this thing to happen right now. Let's just happen right now. But it's not the time. It's not the time for this to happen. And just like Chris talked about, maybe it's traumas that you're going through. Maybe it's, you know, life lessons that you have to go through. Just because you're going through lessons doesn't mean it's because of some sort of trauma that happened. A lot of times, yes, maybe. But other lessons that you're going through might not have been born out of trauma. But they're just lessons you have to go through. Maybe you think you're ready for something, but you're not ready for it. But at the same time, you have to open yourself up to be ready when the time comes. And what does that mean, growing and progressing? And so going back to what I was saying is just patience, being slow with it. It doesn't, something I've been learning over time is I get just naturally, and I'm being very transparent here, you get jealous of those people who have the very quick success or the very quick tangible, hey, I can see they're doing a lot better than I am at a certain area or whatever. And you're like, why am I not there? I put so much more work than they have and things like that. Flash in the pans, and I'm going to use football analogies here too. You can have those flash in the pan years where those guys are good for 1 year, but then all of a sudden they suck for years to come. A lot of times flash in the pans, they don't last, but the things that are meant to last, it takes a long time to build. When you're building something that's worthwhile, you have to set the foundation. You have to build the frame around the house. You have to put the walls up. You have to do the interior. You have to do the plumbing, the electrical, the everything. And so anytime you build something, you have to think about it like building a house. And anytime you build a house, think about if you were going to go buy a house and you're like, man, would you buy the house that was put up in a week? Or would you buy the house that was put up in 6 months? I know for me, I'd go, I don't know about the one that was put up in a week, because I know that they were probably cutting corners and trying to get it done as fast as possible. But the one that was there in 6 months, I know that they did everything in their power to make sure that everything was up to code and everything was perfect. So just think about that, and think about the fact that Rome wasn't built in a day. So all that to say this, just keep patient. Everything that you're building is worthwhile. You're almost there. And even if you're not almost there, just think about the next step that's there in front of you. And so patience is key.
Yeah.
And that's my eclair for the week.
I heard John Maxwell say, guys that get put in the Hall of Fame, they don't get put in the Hall of Fame because they hit 4 home runs in one game once. They did it because they kept doing it consistently, right? So you want to be a Hall of Famer, like, you got to keep showing up. You got to keep doing the thing consistent, like, day in and day out. It takes years, right? Because it takes years for those guys to get in the Hall of Fame, right? Like, even after they retired, like, even years after that. But yeah, man, good work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, man, it's been a great episode. I can't believe we've already wrapped up. We're almost at an hour and 30 minutes, which I remember those days when we were doing 40-minute episodes and whatnot. But it's been good. It's been real. I've enjoyed this episode. But DOUGHNUT Box Pod over on YouTube and on Instagram. Go follow us, like us, subscribe us, all that good jazz. Go find us over on Facebook at the same handle. And we really appreciate you listening. We appreciate you following and the subscriptions over there. We appreciate all of our fans and then all of you who are listening on audio who are saying, you know what? We don't want to see your face, your ugly mugs. I understand. But we do appreciate you guys as well. And we appreciate everything that you guys do each and every week. If I say appreciate one more time, I think Chris might kill me. So we'll go ahead and wrap up. You got anything else to say, my friend?
How many times is a Georgia Dome?
Georgia Dome in the first episode. You know what? The Georgia Dome. No, I'm joking. But anyways, I think we'll have the Starship take us out. So I'm Micah.
And I'm Chris.
And this has been the Donut Box Podcast.
Won't so much to give.